You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Monday evening, it's an off day for the Rockets, but well, they're still very busy. They had a practice this afternoon in Houston before leaving tonight for San Antonio. They do their travel the night before the game so they can all get settled in. Practice in Houston today. No Pat Beverly, as one would expect. After the unexpected death of his grandfather, he's up in Chicago taking care of family matters, but he should rejoin the team in San Antonio before Game 5. And long-term, that should not be any effect at all on the Rockets' rotation. The thing that they're really working on at practice, beyond the obvious, yes, they want to play with space. Tactically, the Rockets have won in this series when they've been able to push the tempo and play their style, shooting a high volume and making a high volume of threes. And, well, they've lost when the Spurs have been able to grind it to a halt and turn it into a slugfest. So, yeah, tactically, that's always the emphasis. But beyond that, what the Rockets are really emphasizing today are the new lineups in the wake of the injury to Nene. With Nene now out for the series, really for the entire postseason, it confirms a lot of his thought immediately last night. It never looked good from the start because when he was ruled out within 5 minutes of going back to the locker room to get checked, that's when you knew it was pretty serious. For a veteran like Nene to get ruled out that quickly, that tells you that's something pretty serious. And then for him to go to the hospital immediately for an MRI, that tells you the team is suspicious of some kind of larger injury. And it turns out his groin muscle is torn. They haven't decided on what his treatment is going forward. He should be able to come back. Now, it's not 100%. At the end of the podcast, I'll talk a little bit about his long-term options. It is worth noting in the first round, there was an article that came out by Mark Spears at the end of the Undefeated, talked to Nene, and in that interview, Nene mentioned that before the season, he had talked or thought a little bit about retirement. He's 34 years old, and it's always possible that maybe he doesn't want to go through the rehab, the grind that it takes to recover from this, because a torn groin muscle, while long-term, sure, you absolutely can recover. That can be a 5 or 6 month injury. So it's not 100% if he was thinking about retirement already that he'll want to go through the grind that it takes to get back. However, being that he's comfortable in Houston and is beloved in that locker room, I think there's a decent shot that the Rockets have a role for him. And if the Rockets have a role for him, I think there's a path for him to come back. But that's for another day. I know for right now, we want to talk about the X's and O's and the situation, what the immediate impact is. And first things first, when it comes to immediate impact, folks, this really sucks for Nene. This is a guy, 1 year, $2.9 million. He signed for a bargain rate, a guy who at one point was a top five center in the NBA because at 34 years old, he thought he could play a pivotal role on a championship contender. He took a chance on James Harden in Houston. He saw this as a perfect locker room fit for him. And what do you know? He was exactly right. He did end up playing a big role on a team that did turn out to be a contender. And just as it's entering the stretch run, Game 5 of the second round of the playoffs, a heavyweight slugfest between the Rockets and the Spurs, that's when he goes out for the year. So before we dive into too much of the immediate team impact, just think about it from a personal standpoint and how much this is unfortunate for Nene. I know the city of Houston's love means a lot for him. And, well, on Twitter, I'm sure he appreciates all the love and well wishes he gets from Rockets fans, because this is just a terrible break for him at a bad time. Above all else, I just feel terrible for him personally, because everything he sought out to do last July, he was doing. He was playing a key role in the first round. He was arguably the second most important player. 28 points, 12 rebounds on 12 of 12 shooting in a pivotal Game 4 in Oklahoma City that essentially turned the series. What looked like a series that could go 6 or 7 games, the Rockets ended up winning and closing out in 5 because Nene was that dominant on the road. So Nene was doing everything he sought out to do. This is when veterans like him play for. This is why they go through the grind of training camp and 82-game season, all that kind of stuff, so they can get to this point. And so to see him have his season cut short in a series this good, before we go into the team impact, I just want to acknowledge how bad this is for him personally. He's a great guy, beloved in that locker room, and hopefully he goes through rehab, because I'd like to see him get the chance to redeem himself from a basketball standpoint next year. Now, as far as the immediate team basketball impact, this is where I have some issues with how this is being characterized, and I think there's being some romanticizing of Nene as a person, because of how well-liked he is. Look, I like Nene too, and so does everyone in that locker room. But this has not been an ideal series for him. He was a minus 25 in game 2. He was a minus 11 in game 3. When he was a minus 11 in game 3, he actually had just 1 point and 3 rebounds in 16 minutes on 0 of 5 from the field. I've said from the outset this was not nearly as good of a matchup for him as Oklahoma City. That Oklahoma City series, that cruising style led by Steven Adams, that was his series. As Mike D'Antoni said, that was a man's game, and that's what he was there for. This one with the Spurs, even though they slow it down, the likes of the bigs they use to do that, LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol, David Lee, these are more finesse bigs. And we have seen Clint Capella, with the possible exception of rebounding in game 2, and even that, it's not like Nene is a better rebounder than Capella anyway, with the possible exception of the defensive glass in game 2, Capella has been tremendous in this series. Last night had 9 rebounds and 2 blocks in 25 minutes. Friday night in game 3 had 15 rebounds and 5 blocks in 32 minutes. Game 1 had 20 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks in his 25 minutes. Another thing I pointed out earlier in passing, but game 3 he actually stepped it up to 32 minutes, that game when he had 15 rebounds and 5 blocks. So really, we have seen Clint Capella take on a huge role in this series, and yes, assuming he can stay out of foul trouble, which unfortunately he did not last night, had 5 fouls, and that was part of why he played just 25 minutes, but he's fully capable of stretching it out to 30, 32 minutes, which is what typically a starter in the prime of his career, which is what Clint Capella is, can do. The Rockets play him in the mid-20s because they have the luxury to do that with someone like Nene behind him, but Capella is capable of playing more minutes. It just depends on if the matchup is favorable for him. Oklahoma City was not, San Antonio is. So initially, the first thing that comes to mind is, yes, you need Clint Capella to take on a little bit larger role, but everything he's done this series shows you that he is fully capable of doing that. So that's the first impact of it, is yes, you need Clint to stretch it out a little bit more, but so far, so good. He needs to be a little bit better at avoiding cheap fouls, but I'm sure that's something that D'Antoni and Jeff Bezdelic are working with him on every single practice, shoot around every time they're together, is the importance of that. Beyond that, the big change for the Rockets is in this making Ryan Anderson essentially the backup center. Now, yes, in theory, you could play Montrezl Harrell or Chinonu Anuaku, but folks, I think it's pretty clear that at this point, Mike D'Antoni's preference is to go the small ball, pace, and space route. If he were going to trust Anuaku or Harrell, I think you would have seen a sign of that last night. It seems pretty clear that the preferred role for him is to essentially slide Anderson to the backup center. That's why they brought Anderson off the bench in the second half, starting Eric Gordon, essentially bringing in Sam Decker little by little, almost like a 7.5-man rotation now. Of course, you have Eric Gordon and Lou Williams. Well, actually, no, it's not Eric and Lou, because Eric's a starter now. So now you have Lou Williams and Ryan Anderson coming off the bench. That's a 7-man rotation. I'd call it 7.5. What happened yesterday, Sam Decker played 6 minutes in the first half. In the second half, you could see before the Rockets blew it completely out of hand in the fourth quarter when the game appeared tied, it looked like Decker actually was not going to get to play in the second half. So I call it a 7.5-man rotation in which Decker might play some in the first half minutes. But if it's really tight in the second half, does D'Antoni trust him enough to get those minutes? We'll have to wait and see. Maybe Decker could eventually earn more minutes because part of it's just kind of Decker knocking off the rust after not playing for 5 weeks with a broken hand. But right now, it's essentially 7.5-man rotation. Bottom line, someone's got to help fill those Nene minutes because the Rockets were at just 8 men in the rotation before the Nene injury. And it seems pretty clear, if you're paying attention, that the preferred route for Mike D'Antoni is to go with Ryan Anderson as the 5, and then because of that, Sam Decker playing minutes at the 4. That's in lieu of giving someone like Montrezl Harrell or Chinonu Anuaku a look as a traditional center. I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's pretty clear that that's not Mike D'Antoni's preferred route. And barring something crazy like a ton of foul trouble or a game just going off the rails bad, and if that happens, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. It's not Mike D'Antoni's plan. The plan is to essentially make Ryan Anderson your backup center, as evidenced by bringing him off the bench in the second half after the injury to Nene. So what does that mean? Obviously, it means you're going to have an incredible offense, and what some people point out also means you're going to have a bad defense. And the bottom line is, does your extreme super offense, super awful defense outweigh the more traditional setting of Nene as your backup center? And I would say that it's mixed. I saw some analysis pointing that, well, it was a net negative that the Rockets were overall still much better yesterday with Capella in the game. Well, yeah, Capella's been tremendous in this series. That's one of the underrated storylines. That's why I was discussing that earlier. Clint's brilliance against the San Antonio front line, his ability to hang in there, has absolutely been understated because a lot of the time that he's stepped up, it's either been in game one when everything happened, so it's been kind of buried underneath the avalanche of shooting, or in game two and game three when the Rockets lost. Clint Capella has been a huge part of the Rockets kind of grinding and staying in those games in San Antonio. The other thing, besides Clint playing a bigger role, which is certainly a big deal for the Rockets, I see the move to Ryan as a backup center helping the Rockets with the predominant theme of the series, which is playing with pace. There are a lot of X's and O's you can talk about with this series, but the bottom line, the Rockets win when they dictate the pace, and they lose when San Antonio dictates the pace. That's just how it's gone for this entire series. When Ryan Anderson is your five and you have no rim protection, you know you can't afford to play a half-court style of game. You have got to get out there and run. Nene, for all of his strengths, I do think there's a tendency, because he's obviously a half-court player, to slow the game down, to play a style that, yes, he can be productive in, he can get you a few points in the half court, he can be a presence around the bucket, but in general, that is conducive to the style that the Spurs want to play. So I think in some ways, just kind of the mental aspect of having Ryan Anderson in there at the five and knowing, hey, we don't have the rebounding, we don't have the rim protection, so we better get out and run, because otherwise, we're just going to get demolished in terms of our lack of defense. I think there's some value in that. The other thing is that the injury of Nene forcing Ryan to your backup center and thereby pushing Eric Gordon into the starting lineup, to me, and it's early, we need more data sets, but last night, that seemed like a very big reason why Pau Gasol played only 19 minutes and was largely ineffective, as opposed to game two and game three, when he was a huge defensive presence. When the Rockets went with that four small lineup, Beverly, Harden, Gordon, and Ariza on the perimeter with Capella on the interior, there was no one for either Aldridge or Gasol to guard. And so that speed caused a ton of problems, and maybe the Rockets found it by accident, but even if they found it by accident, I think there's something there. I think that was very pivotal in them unlocking that Powell-LaMarcus lineup that had given them so many problems in Game 2 and Game 3. So that's why I think it's a little bit misleading when I see folks nationally comparing the numbers of, okay, here's what happens when the Rockets have Capella in the middle, here's what happens when they have Anderson in the middle, and also potentially Nene you can throw in there. Okay, yes, there are some limitations with Anderson at the center spot. However, you also have to factor in the importance of Anderson being there pushing Gordon into the starting lineup and what the presence of Gordon in that starting lineup does for that Capella unit, and specifically because of what it does to that Spurs front line of Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge. So that's a byproduct that I think is big in this series. Now, all of this is not meant to downplay the importance of losing Nene. The only reason I say all of this is I see a lot of folks on Twitter acting as if it demonstratively changes the Rockets' outlook for success in this series. That's something that I don't really agree with. I look at the Nene injury for the Rockets as similar to the Tony Parker injury for the Spurs. I said after it happened that on the short term, it doesn't really change it at all. Actually, you could argue, I think we saw it in the stretch of the Game 3 and Game 4, that Patty Mills gives you some upgrades over Tony Parker in terms of better defense, a little more quickness, certainly better shooting. Now, there's some experience, some veteran qualities, the leadership that Tony Parker has over the course of five games. The longer you play, there's going to be certain situations where that may be useful. And that's kind of how I feel about Nene and the Rockets. The longer they play, the more there's going to be one game, even if it defies common NBA logic, a lot of games sometimes do. And, you know, maybe you need that half-court presence. Or maybe Nene, you would have had that upside of Nene having a flashback game where he just inexplicably put that 28-12 like he did against Oklahoma City in the first round. I don't care how good the matchup is for Nene. You shouldn't go 28-12 on 12-12 from the field when you're 34 years old, yet Nene did it. So you're losing that upside, just as the Spurs are losing the upside of Tony Parker, the way he inexplicably put up 27 points on like 60% shooting in that series-clinching Game 6 in Memphis in the first round. So the longer you play and you don't have that guy around, the more you might find yourself in a situation where, man, we really could have used that sort of presence. And then it didn't happen. But on a day-in, day-out basis, I don't think that the absence of Parker is really affecting the Spurs all that much. And I don't think in this series or the next one that Nene changes the matchups that much in a negative way. As far as the Spurs, we've gone through it. Nene has not played especially well this series. I thought they played pretty well without him last night. And really, the keys for the Rockets are playing with more space, with more athleticism, because really, this series, they win when they play fast. They lose when the Spurs grind it out. It's simple, and it's also been the truth. Now, maybe you need Nene in a certain game, because one thing I pointed out before, the Rockets have come closer to beating the Spurs at their style than the Spurs have come to beating the Rockets at Houston's style. Game 2 and Game 3, even though the Spurs dictated pace, the Rockets were within 3 points very late in the third quarter. So maybe you extend that a little longer, you get a couple more bounces, and maybe Nene's wily veteran presence, especially in a half-court setting, he can get you an extra rebound, an extra finish inside that could prove pivotal. I don't want to downplay that, and certainly the more games you play, the more you may have an oddball game like that, or even if it doesn't fit on paper, that loss is going to mean something. That's why I do think it's eventually going to catch up with the Rockets, although in this series, I would say the Spurs having to play 5 games without Tony Parker is still a bigger deal than the Spurs having to play, than the Rockets having to play 3 complete games without Nene. But in terms of the actual X's and O's of the matchup, folks just went through why it shouldn't be that big of a deal in terms of what the Rockets' goals are against San Antonio. And then, if they get past San Antonio and play the Warriors, folks, Nene's lines against the Warriors this year, he didn't play in 3 of the games. The 1 game he did, he was 1 of 6. And a lot of that was by design. I was going to say, well, it's 1 game he didn't play. Well, yeah, the Rockets scheduled his rest games against the Warriors for a reason, because they did not think that he was a good matchup for the pace that the Rockets-Warriors games typically play at. Montrezl Harrell was typically their choice at the center in those matchups. Now, is that going to happen if the Rockets mention the Western Conference Finals? I don't know. We'll have to see when they get there. I tend to think the Rockets would still go if they win this series with Eric Gordon starting and Ryan Anderson coming off the bench as a part-time 5, part-time 4. I tend to think the Rockets may just stick with Ryan as their backup 5 until someone proves that it can't work. But regardless, it was pretty clear the Rockets did not see Nene as a great matchup against the Warriors in the regular season. The 1 game he played, again, 1 of 6. So against either of these teams, this was not the ideal matchup for him. Now, certainly, if the Rockets were somehow advanced to the NBA Finals, I think Cleveland's a team that profiles very similarly to Oklahoma City. And at that point, you really miss Nene. You absolutely need his presence on the low block if you get to face off against Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and all the bigs that the Cavaliers can throw out there. But you know what? If the Rockets somehow advance past the Warriors, I think everyone in Houston will gladly deal with that problem when it comes. Really, it comes down to matchups against the Spurs and the Warriors. I don't know that this is where Nene really shines. And that's not to insult him in any way at all. He was enormous against Oklahoma City. But folks, for bench players, for role players, it's a game of matchups. Oklahoma City was a favorable one for him. It wasn't just a fluke run of him getting hot. He shot 80% from the field in the regular season against Oklahoma City, too. He was made for that matchup against Steven Adams. Just like the higher pace that the Rockets-Warriors games play at, and also the higher pace that the Rockets would like the Rockets-Spurs games to play at, he's not as ideal there. And that's not a shot at Nene. It's not saying the Rockets won't miss him, because the longer their playoff run goes, the more games they play, the more likely you are going to have one of these games where, you know what, it all just defies the typical X's and O's script, and you just need a veteran who's capable of that upside, and now with Nene out, he's not there. So yes, I do wish he was there. It is a loss for the Rockets. However, does it demonstratively change their outlook? Do I feel that differently about the Rockets' chances tied at 2 against the Spurs with Nene versus without? My answer is no. And like I said, that's not a shot at him at all. That's just the reality of this series. It's not going to be easy. Certainly, you need Clint Capella to continue to play well and hopefully take on a larger role. You need to see Eric Gordon still play well in that starting lineup the way he did in the second half last night. You need to see Ryan make some threes, although hashtag road Ryan, knock on wood. He's going back on the road in San Antonio. Hopefully that bodes well for him shooting threes, because if you have Ryan at the 5, he has got to make shots for that to be a worthwhile lineup given the defensive limitations. But really, for the pace the Rockets want to play at, I don't see this as a huge deal. And that's essentially what I wanted to say with this show, because I see a lot of folks on Twitter that I think are romanticizing things about Nene based on the impact he had in the first round and based on how much they like him. And I like him a lot too, but this has not been his series. The Rockets were fine without him last night. And I think there's a chance, not a guarantee, because this series is as close to 50-50 as it gets, but I think there's a very plausible route for them to do everything they want to do against the Spurs and the Warriors without Nene relative to, well, the lineup the Rockets thought they had 24 hours ago. Also, one final note I should throw in that's unrelated to any of this. Long term, if Nene decides to continue playing, that's far from a given. As I said, he's 34 years old. He's had a long history of injuries. Did admit in an interview during the Oklahoma City series with Mark Spears of the Undefeated that he contemplated retirement before the year. It's possible, he says, a torn groin muscle. Maybe I just don't want to go through the grind, and this is where I call it quits. However, I think there's a good shot he wants to go back to Houston. He's beloved in that locker room. It's a good fit for him. The Rockets have already proven adept at managing his injuries. And to me, this actually makes it more likely than ever that he is able to be brought back. First things first, as far as the Rockets' cap situation, he is the only guy not under contract for next year, so the Rockets could conceivably bring this entire team back if they so choose. And he's the one guy people weren't sure about. I heard some wondering in the first round, wow, is he going to get a huge payday? Well, I never bought into that because at 34 years old, about to be 35, he's not a guy that someone's going to gamble on and say, wow, this guy can take on a larger role. Because it's proven when he takes on a larger role, he's probably going to break down. Secondly, I've had people on this very show, including Tad Brown a week or so ago, that have testified to just how much he loves it in Houston. They want him back. He's a huge fit in this locker room alongside James Harden, and I think there's a role for him if he wants to be there. As far as the math and making it all work, folks, a guy coming off a torn groin muscle that's about to be 35 years old, the market is not going to be there in July for folks willing to gamble huge sums of money given those limitations. In fact, there's some possibility, depending on the severity. The Rockets don't know the severity yet. They don't know the treatment plan. They're going to release that as they find out in the coming days. But really, this could be 6 or 7 months if it's a worst-case scenario. We don't know how bad it is, but a torn groin muscle, if it's completely torn, if we're talking about a rupture, it certainly could be. And if that's the case, he may not be ready for spring, for training camp. And if that's the case, I almost called it spring training, but if that's the case, then the Rockets are perfectly adept at dealing with that. They have Clint Capella ready to take on an even larger role next year. They also have Montrezl Harrell still under contract and certainly able to take over as your backup center in the interim, as he did for stretches of this year when Nene was either absent or resting. So the Rockets are uniquely equipped to deal with this. They can give him kind of the role that they gave Dikembe Mutombo a decade ago in terms of, you know, you can come in when you're ready. We'll use you however it works for your schedule. And I think at this point in his career, if he plays, he's not going to be playing for money. He's got plenty of that. If he plays, he's going to want to play for a contender. And I don't know what role there is for him to have a better shot at contending that also has shown an ability to kind of rest him, manage him properly. And really, the Rockets did. He was playing his best ball in the playoffs. This was just a complete freak injury on a runout in which LaMarcus Aldridge chased him down. Well, really, you don't even see Nene having a runout very often. It's kind of a freak play where he read a pass at midcourt, jumped it. All of a sudden, he's trying to take it 60 feet, and LaMarcus trails him. And all of a sudden, Nene, to finish the dunk, he has to extend himself a little longer, a little more of a sudden burst than perhaps he usually would, just a complete freak accident. Other than that, the Rockets manage him pretty well. And so if he wants to come back, I think this diminishes his market a little bit around the league, even if that existed. I don't fully believe it existed from the outset. I think even if this injury never happened, I think he would have wanted to come back to Houston. They would have come to a deal that was beneficial for both him and the team, just a mutually beneficial, low salary deal, the same way we've seen guys, veterans play for low money with the Warriors and Cavaliers in recent years. I think that's what Nene and the Rockets were likely to do, and well, if he's willing to go back through the rehab, which I hope he is, because I'd love to see his career end on a different note than this, and of course I'd like to see him find the playoff success, even more of it, that he's so craved by coming to Houston. If that happens, I think it makes it all the more likely for him to be back in a Rockets uniform moving forward, because the Rockets, again, it's a contender, which that meets his desire as far as the depth the Rockets have at the center spot. Capella, Harrell, you also have Chinonu Anuaku entering his second year. Even if this is an injury that takes several months to heal, the Rockets can say, hey, Nene, go at your pace. You don't have to be ready for training camp. You have to do any of that. You can round into form December, January, whenever you're ready to go, and we'll find a way to get you back in. And after this season, I think Nene has full confidence in the Rockets that they will take care of him both physically and mentally. So long term, I think it'd actually be a benefit to the relationship. If you weren't sold already, I think as long as he doesn't want to retire, I think it makes it even more likely that Nene and the Rockets are pairing moving forward, because it's a fit for Nene on a personal level. It's also a fit for the Rockets, obviously, on a basketball level. Financially, I think this diminishes whatever small chance there was of someone coming in and trying to outbid the Rockets with a crazy offer. As I said, I never really expected that for a 35-year-old with limited minutes anyway. Thought those concerns were overblown, but even if you bought into that, this should definitely diminish that. So if he doesn't retire long-term, I think then odds are pretty decent that he comes back to the Rockets for the 2017-2018 season, and thus Houston fans should not have seen the last of him. So anyway, on that more positive note, I will wrap up the show, because outside of Nene, there's not really that much to discuss in terms of Rockets developments today. Again, Pat Beverly not with the team. He's tending to family matters in Chicago after the unexpected death of his grandfather, but the Rockets do expect him to come back for Game 5 in San Antonio. No issues expected there. And beyond that, really, it's all about adjusting to the loss of Nene, the new lineups with Ryan Anderson kind of as your backup five, Eric Gordon as a starter. That's the main thing. And then tactically, emphasis is the same that it's always been. How do you play faster? How do you push the tempo? Because, well, when the Rockets play fast, they win. When they play at that grinded out Spurs place pace, they lose. So it seems pretty simple what the Rockets want to do. It's just a matter of execution. Two different styles, you're kind of coming together, and it's just a matter of execution. Who's able to dictate the style in these final three games, starting with Game 5 tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in San Antonio. Of course, folks, whatever happens then, good or bad, I will have you covered on Twitter, and especially here on Locked On Rockets. So on Twitter, you want to follow me or the show, you can do that at Ben Dubose, at Locked On Rockets. If you want to email us, you can do that, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries. And if you're not subscribing to the show already, please do. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, wherever you subscribe to your media, you can type in Locked On Rockets and get any of our 200-plus episodes just as soon as they're delivered. We've been a daily show for 9 months now, and, well, we hope to continue doing that for quite a while moving forward, and you guys are a huge part of what make this so fun on a day-to-day basis. We've always been 5 shows a week, and lately, with the Rockets in the middle of one of their better playoff runs this century, we've been doing 6 or 7 shows a week, and I hope you guys are having as much fun listening as I am recording, because it's so fun to get to experience this with everybody else out there in the Twitter world and, well, the podcast world. So appreciate all of you guys for tuning in. I know I say it a lot, but I really do. You guys giving me a platform to talk about these issues on a daily basis. This is really fun. I'm having a blast. And so I appreciate you guys each and every day for continuing to tune in. And of course, well, tomorrow, hopefully another positive episode. But regardless, we will have plenty to discuss. So for now, I hope everyone goes out and gets the rest. It's a Monday off day. Rockets aren't playing. Not even the Astros are playing. A complete off day. So hopefully that's time for everybody to get recharged, do some non-sports things if you haven't been doing that. I know for me personally, last week with all the Astros-Rangers games and then a Rockets playoff series, I've been all sports all the time. Good opportunity to do something else, catch up on your sleep, all that stuff. And then tomorrow night, we will be full bore Rockets-Spurs, Game 5, tiebreaker of sorts. It definitely feels like whoever wins that game has the upper hand in the series. So this is going to be a huge, huge postseason game in Houston sports, and I can't wait to talk with you guys about it right here on Locked On Rockets once it's over.